Celebrate football season at Apex Entertainment. When New England wins, kids win. Visit Apex in Marlboro after a win, and you'll receive a free kids meal with the purchase of an adult meal. Offer valid for X-Card members and for children 12 and under. Visit the website for details. Apex's 100,000 square feet of pure fun for all ages with go-karts, bowling, arcade games, laser tag, and more. Catch the games while enjoying their great beer selection and delicious appetizers. Apex Entertainment in Marlboro.
B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mass.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Second down and 8. Wentz turns and gives. Taylor runs it through a big hole. He's gone. To the 50. Right side, 40. Chased by J.C. Jackson to the 20. Outside to the 10. Into the end zone. That's the ball game.
That sucks. And didn't play your best tonight. Colts have done everything to give you this game.
Take our quarterback over that quarterback any day, though.
Well, unfortunately, the Patriots did everything early to give the Colts the game, and it came down to that final series before the 67-yard touchdown run by Jonathan Taylor, who has now rushed for a score in 11 consecutive games.
Kid's a game breaker. That's the chance you take, man, when you put, you know, you got 10 guys up. You got to commit. You know, and it's making McCourty missing the hole, and it's over pursued from the backside. You know, with Hightower got stuck in the mud right in the middle. And then it's off to the races for him.
All right, here we go. That's how it ended Saturday night in Indianapolis. Patriots lose to the Colts. By now, you know all the particulars. You also know the routines of this show. Big Boy Tuesday, Greg Bedard in studio. Brought to you by the Granite Group, an award-winning distributor of Mitsubishi Electric's heating and air conditioning systems. With locations across Massachusetts and New England, you can learn more at customizedcomfort.com. In case you have not already ascertained, Felger is out today. Jim Murray is alongside. Christian Arcand is here for headlines. And we begin, as always, with the big boy film study from the Patriots game over the weekend. Greg, what's your primary takeaway?
My primary takeaway is that they just were out of sorts in this game. They were not ready for this game. I'm not going to say they were completely outcoached or anything like that. I put it on the players. You know, don't give the players a pass. They had a week off. I don't want to hear any whining about the week off. The Colts had a week off. They were ready to go. I put it on the players. The players did not execute at all. You know, in really any phase of the game. I mean, even Jake Bailey before the block punt, and I was okay with his get-off time. I had him at 1.8, normally like 2.1 is a max, so I was okay there. But he had two other punts that were terrible, that were not good, that could have been a lot better. Offensively, I thought the execution overall was just poor. That's the quarterback. That's the receivers. That's in the running game. I thought the blocking was atrocious. And maybe that was because I don't think they were in pads much last week. Maybe that was a reason for that. But it was atrocious. Like, for example, I thought one of the biggest plays in the game that no one has really talked about.
Yep, go ahead.
Before the field goal, the controversial field goal decision, the 4th and 7.
To make it 20-10.
Yes. On that second down. I'm sorry. I'm trying to find it here. Okay. The Brandon Bolden left end run.
Mm-hmm.
That play was there for a walk-in touchdown if Kendrick Bourne makes his block. It was wide open. It should have been a touchdown. Almost every play on that at the end of that sequence should have been a touchdown. First down, Mac Jones throws that bullet, basically throws it away. There was a play there to be made. If he throws a touch pass out, lets Jacoby Myers go out and get it, that's a possible touchdown. Second down, Kendrick Bourne completely whiffs on his block. It was awful. Doesn't block anybody. Play gets blown up. There was nothing wrong with the play. It was terrible execution. The Michael Wenu false start on third down. I thought Mac Jones had Hunter Henry at the pylon. He didn't pull the trigger for whatever reason. I'm not sure. Maybe it was, I'm not sure who was in coverage. Maybe it was Kenny Moore. Maybe he got gun shy. But that the play was there to be made. Hunter Henry was open. If you throw it right at his break, he's open at the pylon, touchdown. You know, and so that's just an example of the Patriots just not being sharp enough. And that was a game that was there for them. I mean, I have no illusions about what might happen in a rematch. The Patriots are not going to play that bad. They're not going to give them 7 points on special teams. And Carson Wentz is horrible. I think I had him on a down on every single throw, a minus on every single one of his throws.
I mean,
he made bad decisions, bad throws. That was the reason why that wasn't 40 to nothing. If Frank Reich had a real quarterback in that game's over at halftime easily.
Okay, so look, this is how we're going to do it today. We'll open up the phones right away, 617-779-0985. And we'll do all the usual stuff with Greg that we do after a game. We'll do three up and three down here in a little bit. We'll do 10 questions in the next hour. We're going to get to the Celtics later on in the program. And we'll get to all the particulars with Greg over the course of the 2 hours as well. But I want to start big picture. So you just gave us your overall assessment. Execution was poor. Basically, all the things we saw, all the things yep. that Bill said after the game on Saturday night. So certainly it was sloppy all the way around. So I have a couple of questions for you. One of which is, can you shed any light on what Mac Jones is talking about when he says we were feeling sorry for ourselves?
I asked people around the team, like, what was this? And first of all, not many of them had heard the quote. And when I read it to them...
Funny how they've never heard the quote when you ask them about it. What quote? What are you talking about?
But they were just like, when I read it to them, they were just like, what? And really, they think it's, look, it's Mac Jones. He, you know, that's not... Being at the podium is not his realm. And he's more worried about just getting off and not getting in trouble than anything. So internally, it seems like they don't really pay it any mind. But there's no reason why. No reason why anybody should feel badly about themselves.
Well, okay, they were clearly ill prepared, though. This is what you were saying. So,
go ahead, Barry.
I mean, something had to have happened during that week.
Well, the only thing I can think of is that, look, they played Monday night, I think it was, before the bye week.
Yep.
And then they had it. So they had a late bye, anyways, which the Colts had. They had to play Monday night, and then instead of playing Sunday, they got moved up to Saturday night. So it probably, you know, maybe some of the guys had long set vacation plans for the bye week. And then all of a sudden the schedule changes late, and now they have to scrap everything. You got wives who are upset, kids are mad. Maybe something like that, but it's no excuse. I mean, it's absolutely zero excuse.
I mean, Greg,
professional football.
Well, right. If that's what it is, that's pretty amateurish.
Yeah.
I mean, that is amateurish, especially when you go into a game like the one they went into in possession of the top seed in the conference.
Mm-hmm.
They were the top seed in the conference going into the week. Kansas City obviously won on Thursday night. The Patriots then lose on Saturday night. So this is my second question for you. With the events of the week and the way they played, Buffalo now comes in here. Presumably, we're not going to have 50-mile-an-hour winds for the game. But the point being, the Patriots in the span of 2 weeks could go from the top seed in the conference to theoretically out of the playoffs eventually. Now, they're not there yet, but this game on Sunday is for the division title.
Absolutely.
Okay, 100% for the division title. Buffalo's got a cakewalk after this game.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they win this game and win out, they've got it.
Yep.
Now you're fighting for a wild card spot. Is there any reason to believe that from that game on Saturday that any of this stuff is going to linger and that this team was at all exposed, the Patriots were?
No, because I think it was actually, look, not to sound like a Patriots fan or honk, but it was actually the best thing for them. If they were getting a little cocky, a little full of themselves, which sometimes happens in this region when the Patriots are going hot, there's a feeling of infallibility that they're going to run the table and it's 2001. They're going to win the Super Bowl. I'm glad they got their ass kicked the other night. They deserve to get their ass kicked. I mean, up front, the defensive line got their asses handed to them repeatedly. Guys, you know, Lawrence Guy, Devon Godchow, Carl Davis, you know, Christian Barmore in the final play. You know, a lot of people are just putting that on Dante Hightower. You know, and yes, he should have made the play. He should have split the difference with Devin McCourty. Yes. But when you're coming around on that play, you're not expecting the left defensive end to get caved in by 6 yards. You're not expecting to have to cover that much room.
And who was that? Was that
Christian Barmore?
And was that he matched up with Nelson?
For the most part, he got double teamed. He got double teamed to the set. He got completely erased. And when Hightower came around, he went from thinking, all right, I'm coming around. I'm going to have to cover Devin McCourty's in one gap. Barmore's going to be the other. And I'm going to two gap. I'm going to see which side he's going to go to. All of a sudden he gets over there and there's nobody in that gap. Barmore's gone. Now he's got to cover a 5 yard area. So don't put it all on Dante Hightower. It was bad team defense, including up front. But I thought it was the best thing for them. This is something back when I covered the Packers, I remember doing an article about, is it good to win or good to lose at the end of the season about, long winning streaks. And you go through it, and I went back through the numbers. I did the story in 2009. I went back through the numbers, and it's always better. The last team, the Patriots, if they would have won out, they would have won 11 straight to finish the season.
Yep.
Would have had to win three to win the Super Bowl.
Yep.
That's 14 games. The last team that's done anything approaching that?
The Patriots in 07.
The 03.
Oh, okay. You mean and won out.
Yeah. The 03 okay. Patriots. That's it. I mean, you go back through it. The Buccaneers won 8 straight. They lost last loss in week 12. Like, you just go through it since I think the Giants in 86, the Patriots are the only team to win 12 or more games straight to finish the season and win a Super Bowl.
Okay, just quickly before we go to break, what is your biggest single concern coming out of this game? Offense, defense, stopping the run, passing offense, what was your single biggest concern?
It's a good question. I think it would be, I don't want to say Mac because I know the Mac Mafia is going to get after me, but I think this was an illustration. If you were looking for an example of why a rookie quarterback has never led a team to a Super Bowl, this was an example of that.
Okay.
He wasn't quite ready for the moment. I thought he played spectacular in stretches in the second half, but overall, he was not ready for it.
Okay. We'll dig a little deeper on that here over the course of Greg's visit with us. As you know, he'll be here until 4 o'clock. But when we return, we'll go over some of the particulars from the game. Again, 3 up, 3 down a little bit later in the hour, and we'll do 10 questions as well with Greg Bedard on Big Boy Tuesday on Felger and Mazz.
It's Felger and Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Mazz.
This Sports Hub on-demand content is brought to you by Frazier Engineering. Frazier Engineering is your MVP for all your commercial mechanical needs. Just give them a call and make your next project a win. Go to FrazierEngineering.com to find out more. Frazier Engineering, great people doing great work.
This is purely a take that exists in my head.
Getting into your head.
Tell you what's in our head.
With hot sports takes.
And we share it with you.
Felger and Mazz, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Fourth and one. Jones gonna throw one to nowhere. Incomplete. Colts get a stop. Darius Leonard in this defense flying around here in Indy. They get it back up 20.
So what was that on fourth down, Greg?
They're just going to run a slight little roll out to the right. They bring Hunter Henry over. He's going to delay. He's the first read. He's just got to get his eyes around. Look, he's trying to throw him the ball. He doesn't look until it's too late. He tries to come off and throw it over the top to the deep player. Aguilar, he got kind of twisted up. I don't think Hunter Henry was expecting the ball. You got to get your head around. It's fourth and a yard. We're trying to throw you the ball.
That's a play from Saturday night that we touched on briefly yesterday. But I want to get into it more with Greg here because he wrote something in his email that that struck me as interesting. So, and again, we'll get to your phone calls here in just a second, so sit tight. But for all the things that went wrong in that game, Greg, this is not a play that a lot of people are talking about. Mm-hmm. The flea flicker is another one, which we'll get to in this hour. But on this play here, we're basically almost midway through the third quarter at this stage. Patriots take the ball over with 11:50 to go in the third quarter. Okay, they start at their own 25. They're starting to move a little bit, and they get to 3rd and 11 at their 37. Jones hits Aguilar. They get 10. They end up with a 4th and 1. Okay, 4th and 1. And you tell me, a couple of times this year, they've run this little play where Jones sprints out to his right, and Jacoby Myers is over there, and it's like stealing. They get a 3 yard gain to get a first down. Yep. Were they effectively running the same thing with Hunter Henry on that play?
They've
is that what that
play.
Was?
It, different personnel, different setup, but yeah, essentially the same play.
Okay, so here is what Greg wrote in his email this morning when we exchanged thoughts and ideas for the show today. Greg writes, I'm sick and tired of watching Hunter Henry and Jacoby Myers take their sweet-ass effing time to get open in big spots. Get open, get your head around. This would not be going on if Brady was here. Brady would have cleaned that bleep up in week five. Jones needs to be an a-hole. So you hold the quarterback partly accountable there.
Well,
partly.
A little bit. I'm just saying that if... How many years was I watching Tom Brady Patriots film? Like a decade? I maybe a couple times I thought that. Like, oh, Brady's waiting for this guy to get open. You know, it's one of probably the morons, probably like Chad Johnson or somebody like that. One of the morons who didn't know what they were doing around here. But I've never seen so many times this year, and I don't want to say it's like once a game, but, you know, once every couple games.
These two are responsible for sloppy routes?
Yeah, well, not sloppy routes. It's they're taking their time. Like, Jacoby Myers, there have been countless times where on third down, you're in the slot, and he's like, I got to get open. And maybe Julian Edelman did a little of this, but he's a different athlete, where he's taking like a jump step. He's like pitter-pattering, and it's like, dude, there's an all-out blitz coming. Are you going to turn around, or are you just going to keep, you know, hop, skipping, and jumping down the field? Like, your quarterback is under duress. Turn your head around and make yourself available. You know, I didn't ask about this, but The red zone interception, I think that it was a similar case.
The Darius Leonard play, yeah.
Yes, because I think Mac Jones wanted to go to Hunter Henry earlier, because what he did was he pump faked left to N'Keal Harry, and basically what he was doing was moving Darius Leonard out of a window. Leonard did move, and then he wanted to throw behind him in the middle of the field. The problem is Hunter Henry's head was still down. And I think Mac wanted to throw that, and then he was like, well, now I'm going to try. Then he sort of panicked because of the, you know, the count and all that. And I don't think that's the play that he – I don't think that's the throw he wanted to make. I think he wanted to throw to Hunter Henry in the first window, but Henry didn't have his head up. It was the same thing on the fourth down play. Olsen is 100% correct. It's fourth and one. Like, what are you waiting for? And then we had the opposite. Jonnu Smith runs down the seam like – 2 yards off the ball, just running backwards, like looking back. Like, you can't run fast looking back. It's like coaching Little League baseball. Like, you can't run after a pop fly, you know, looking back for the ball. Like, you can't run with your glove out. Like, you got to just run down the field.
Also, and
it's driving me insane. And sorry, Jim.
That's okay.
But related to what you said about Tom Brady, I've never seen this happen with Tom Brady. And to me, they're working on this stuff. They're repping this stuff in practice. Tom Brady would be like in film, he would have yelled at Hunter Henry like in training camp, like, dude, it's fourth and one. Get your effing head around. Like, and he would have been an a-hole about it. And you don't see those widespread problems. I see it with Jacoby Myers. I see it with Hunter Henry all the time. These are the guys that he's looking for. And I just think it's because Mac Jones is a rookie. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. He shouldn't be expected to be the dominant a-hole, you know, not even one full season into his career. But that is something that Mac Jones is going to have to take on his plate and make sure it's repped right in practice so they don't have these fundamental breakdowns in the games. Because these are huge, huge, crucial plays that are going to be the difference between winning playoff games and not winning playoff games. And this is why a rookie quarterback has never led a team to a Super Bowl.
I thought that play in of itself anyway for fourth and short, Greg, is just getting too cute. Why are they seemingly reluctant? At least I think they're seemingly reluctant to do QB sneaks with this kid.
I have no idea. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they're afraid to divorce Buckner. I mean, Grover Stewart's a good guy on the interior. You know, all of a sudden you got Darius Leonard, you know, popping in there in Okereke. I don't know. I thought the play was fine. A lot of course, the default around here is always it's the coordinator's fault. Like, they never want to blame the players because of the uniform, and they probably have their – God forbid you blame the players. Like, if the Patriots execute really well in a game and they lose and they can't go anywhere on offense, rip Josh McDaniels all over the place. But how could anybody watch this game the other night and say, oh, yeah, the players were on point. It was the coach's fault. Give me a break. That fourth down play, they've run it time and time again. It was there. Hunter Henry, get your effing head around.
Well, and the lapses, right? I mean, they lost the game because of lapses. you know, not knowing snap counts, not blocking guys on punts. I mean, these are
penalties.
These are elementary mistakes, and they make it look like a poorly coached team. But it's also, I will say, it's wildly out of character compared to what we have seen in the early part of the season. The only question I have is, was something punctured with the team now? Like, are they going to bounce back? And because this is no easy game coming out.
No, I mean, I'm hoping they have the red ass after this game. I hope they're embarrassed. I hope they got humble pie. I think Jamie Collins made reference to that. I think he used the word humble pie. That, you know, maybe they were feeling themselves. Remember the 2019 team, you know, those guys, the, what'd they call them?
The boogeyman.
The boogeyman. They were really feeling themselves, and then they completely deflated at the end of the season.
Murray's favorite.
Know, maybe this will... maybe this will rectify that and keep, you know, give it the course correction. I mean, I would much rather I pick the Colts in this game because I don't see them losing to Buffalo. I still don't think Buffalo's good enough, and I think the Colts do things defensively that the Bills can't do, even though they're similar schemes. I think the Colts, that is a smart as hell defense. Those guys are smart. Buckner, Grover Stewart up front. Darius Leonard is basically calling out plays. Okereke is from Stanford. Freaking brilliant kid. Kenny Moore knows what the hell he's doing. Sendejo, the safety, I don't think he's very good, but he's smart as hell. And so that's why I think the Patriots had so much problems, so many problems on offense, or contributed to them. I don't think the Bills can do that. I think the Bills are a bunch of morons on defense.
And Indy's fast. They're fast defensively.
Yeah, they're fast, but the plays were there. I mean, you look at the stats coming into the game. I said, going into this game, you don't run in the middle against the Colts. You don't. You run on the edges. The stats said there are plays to be made on the edges against that defense, except they couldn't block an effing guy ever to get on the edge.
Eddie's in Maine. Eddie, what do you got?
Hey, guys. I'm completely with Greg on this in categorizing this as a good loss. It gives Bill the opportunity to get under the player's skin a little bit, gives him the excuse to do that. And dare I say, it's similar to 2001 with the loss to the Rams in the regular season.
Okay, here we go again with the 0-1 comparisons. So does Bill need a reason to get under their skin, Greg? Does he really need a reason to do that?
No, but, you know, this loss, the way that they played, probably Bill after the game was like, I needed to ride their asses harder, going into this game.
Which is probably why he was pissed.
Probably. He probably misjudged it. He probably thought, you know, I like where this team is. I like where they're going. I don't need to grip the steering wheel too tight. But it's funny, you know, because, you know, during this season, I've been going back and forth a little bit on Seth Wickersham's book. And, you know, the 07 season, he just repeats over and over again about how Bill just was all over those guys the entire season, would never let them feel too good about themselves. And that's, you know, part of the reason why they went, you know, 16-0. But I think, look, Bill's not perfect, and sometimes you misjudge your team. And I think that, you know, he probably didn't drive them hard enough after the bye. And that was part of the reason he will not make that mistake again. He knows now that this team has not earned to be eased up on. And now he's going to be after their ass. And that's a good thing because they need to come out on Sunday. And I expect them to blow doors on the Bills and hopefully set up an end of the season run. But I do think it was either the Colts game or the Bills game that they needed a reckoning. And I think they got it.
Greg, you just mentioned the boogeymen. That team went 8-0. You know, week 9, Lamar Jackson smokes them. Was that a good loss? Like, they had the bye week after that, and then they won a couple of games, but every time they played a good quarterback, they kind of got put in their place after that. Like, do you consider that a good loss?
No, I thought that team was a paper champion. I thought that I never thought they were as good as they showed, and Tom Brady was example number one of that. I mean, he knew they weren't good enough that year, and when, you know, the offense wasn't good enough, so finally the defense gave out. You know, a bunch of old guys. I do worry about that with this team. You know, it's very similar personnel in this game, on this team. You know, they do have Judon, but Judon hasn't played well, you know, two games before the bye. This game, he didn't play that well.
You know what? I didn't, now that you mention it, Craig, I didn't notice him much in this game.
This is now three games in a row. Now, he earned it, and if he turns it up for the last month, who gives a crap? And he plays well in the playoffs, but three games in a row, he has not played that well. And you see how is the defense, you know, really played overall? I mean, the Buffalo game we got to take out, but how has the defense really played?
You know, Murray, it didn't even occur to me until he said it. I don't remember really seeing Judon in that game.
Yeah.
Except
blowing edges.
Well, and I was going to say, and it's probably because of the fact that the Colts really didn't throw much.
No, and that's the other thing is that.
Well, did you hear Zoe at the end of their show, Zolak and Bertrand? He thinks he might be dinged up.
He could be. That's why I was hoping the bye week was going to recharge him or, you know, cured whatever ailed him, because we saw in the first half of the season, you know, they need Matthew Judon and Christian Barmore to dominate, you know, and you guys talked about it last week that, you know, I did a column on, yeah, they played zone. That's great and all. If you get pressure a lot and you can rush with four and you don't have to, that's fine. But we saw even one of the few Carson Wentz completions, he had a little rollout. It was zone defense. Carson, no pressure on him, and it was like, I don't know, 25
yards. That was the
one
he kind of floated?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember that play. All right, don't go anywhere. Three up, three down next. Arkans, get your headlines.
If you own a home and are not using the sun to offset your energy bills or provide a backup power source during a blackout, it's time to do what I did and contact Devlin Solar. Devlin Solar is bringing affordable green energy to New England by using the latest solar technology to provide efficient energy solutions. To see if your home qualifies for solar, call 800-818-5641 or visit devlinsolar.com. They put a system in my home and it's great. So do what I did, reduce or eliminate your energy bills and power your home through a blackout with Devlin Solar, the most trusted solar company in New England. Financing is available through Sunnova. Don't wait. Call 800-818-5641 today.
This is the place Boston sports fans come to get some positive vibes for their teams.
Anything but. It's time to panic.
Eh, maybe not. Now, back to reality with Felger and Maz.
And now, it's time for three.
Jones with time. Throwing the deep ball down the left side.
What a throw!
Three down.
This is one of the worst throws he's had.
With Greg Bedard from BostonSportsJournal.com. Three up.
Bucks win the Super Bowl. And there the cannons go. Fire them. Keep on firing them.
Three down.
He sucks.
He blows.
On Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I can't tell you how pissed off I am to be in this seat now. I like doing three up, three down. It's like a free chance to rip.
Well, just because I'm the two chair doesn't mean I like default have to do it.
Oh no, you're doing it. You're doing it. I'm not doing it.
Okay.
I got enough on my plate today, Murray. Three up, three down with Greg Bedard, presented by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. Enjoy the game with a triple distilled, triple cask matured, and triple blended Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. Game time, Tully time. Please drink responsibly. All right, fellas, here we go. But Murray's going to fill in for me. If I feel like chiming in, I will. But Greg Bedard, you're three up in order. Go.
The ups were a little tough.
Yeah, I bet.
Nobody was perfect in this game, but I'm going to go number one, Hunter Henry. And by the way, Maz, I was just thinking, what would Mac Jones sound like telling Hunter Henry to get his head around on fourth downs?
Well, I gotta let Murray do that one.
Oh, you gotta be a better route runner and stuff. Turn around, I'm gonna try to get to you. Just gotta be better and stuff.
I don't disagree with Hunter Henry number one. I thought he was the best player on the team Saturday night.
My number one was J.C. Jackson. I thought before Michael Pittman actually got tossed out of the game. I know that first deep one to him, he kind of got burned on. But other than that, he held him in check before Pittman got tossed out of the game. And he probably should have had an interception, too. I thought Jackson was good in this game.
Greg, number two.
Jamie Collins. I thought he was good when he came in. I thought that one of the strategic errors in this game, and it drives me crazy, they're in love with their three safeties, and they kept matching up with the Colts, 12 personnel. No, excuse me. Yeah, 12 personnel. One running back, two tight ends. They kept matching it with a safety in the box. No, mostly Kyle Duggar, and it was not effective. It was part of the reason why they were gashed against the run. And when they went to more linebackers later in the game, it made a difference. But I thought when Jamie Collins came in the second half, I thought he was very impactful. He did a really nice job.
Collins actually played quite a bit in this game because of the Bentley injury, yep. Right? Good, Murray.
I also had Hunter Henry, six passes, 77 yards, a couple of touchdowns. He felt like he was a mismatch. I saw some stat, too, that the Colts, despite their defense, you know, being smart, and I'm with you on that, Greg, like they've had issues with tight ends.
Oh, yeah.
Gronk gouging them, too, when Tampa went in there. So I thought he should have been used more, but overall, I thought a good game by him.
Good, Greg, number three.
I had Adrian Phillips with an honorable mention about J.C. Jackson, even though, you know, his pass breakups were mostly because Carson Wentz sucks and he's throwing the ball late. But I thought Adrian Phillips did a nice job in the run game, in the pass game. He helped shut down the tight ends. I thought he was really good.
Number three down, I know he never gets enough love, but I thought he had a good game. N'Keal Harry. You noticed him for good. A couple of big catches down the stretch, keeping the Patriots alive at that time. I thought N'Keal Harry was actually good in this game.
Okay, that was your third up, Murray. Your third up, yes. Right? Okay, now three down, the good stuff. Good, great.
Isaiah Wynn. WTF. Like, what is he doing? Like, that Ramondre Stevenson run, when he completely whiffed on the double team, and then he was like, oh, I think it's going to be a good job, a good idea if I turn around towards the goal line and try to block the guy who I just whiffed on 5 yards behind the play. Oh, I ran into my running back. Like, that was just put it on an NFL Films blooper reel. It was terrible. The Buckner sack, like, he's outside you. He's on the edge. He's a defensive tackle. You know you have help coming from the running back. Like, how do you let him go inside? You know he's going to go inside. That's where he rushes, inside. And he lets him go inside. It was just, oh, he was horrible.
He got smoked on that play. Smoked. And the butt fumble. Murray, you're so right. That play where he ran into the backfield was exactly like the butt fumble.
And that is why I also have him as my number one down. Isaiah Wynn, again, tackling his own guy, Ramondre Stevenson, also penalized for a critical false start while they're driving into Colts territory. He was wretched in this game, Isaiah Wynn.
Okay, number two down, Greg.
I have the defensive line as a group for their general suckitude. Lawrence Guy, Godchow, Davis, at least Barmore had some splash plays to offset his poor plays. Judon, the only guy I didn't think was bad on the defensive line was Dietrich Wise, but I had that group for 19 minus plays in the game, which is about a half a season's worth for that group.
They got pushed around in this game. Murray, number two.
Jakob Johnson. Someone only gets noticed when they do something bad, and in his case, he did the worst thing possible. Failed to pick up that block on the Colts block punt. Scooped up for a touchdown. Inexcusable.
Okay, number three down, Greg.
Special teams in general. I mean, I thought the block punt with Jakob Johnson. Gunner gets a ball punched out. Luckily, it goes out of bounds. The penalty, Brandon King, one of Bill's special teams only guys, blows 3 points there. Jake Bailey had at least two poor punts before the punt block. It was awful. That's the type of game where that's why Bill pays more for special teams, keeps more special team only guys. That game where the team doesn't have much of a pulse, the special teams could give you a jump. Instead, they just flatline the entire team. Once they saw the special teams collapse, they were like, all right, we're done.
And Mac Jones doesn't skate because he had a good fourth quarter. I thought he sucked for the better part of 2.5, 3 quarters. I thought the two picks were results of bad decisions on his part. The second one was a weak-ass throw. I thought he tried to force it. And I thought his worst play of the night, I said it yesterday, the early delay of game, which was just unbelievably bad. He had 13 seconds left on the play clock. So Mac Jones is a down for me.
By the way, on the second interception, not only was he late to the running back,
Bolden. Yep.
And he telegraphed it. He had very good protection. He actually, for the most part, he had very good protection in this game, which should give you more pause about the way he played in this game. He was not sped up just from pass rush. He was sped up from the game. But if he is more patient, he has Jakobi Meyers coming open on about a 25-yard pass, and he just panicked, didn't stay with the play. And, you know, we saw that a few times, including the Jakobi Meyers drop down the left sideline. I've asked people about it. I think internally they think it was more of a drop. I didn't love the throw. I thought the throw could have been better. It wasn't a bad throw. It was a good throw. Jakobi could have caught it, but I thought Mac Jones even there didn't get his legs into it, panicked a little, and the throw was flatter than it needed to be.
Okay, so Greg, let me tell you what my problem is with that play, because I do blame Meyers. If you're going to have a top 10 passing game,
mm-hmm.
you got to make that catch.
Fair.
So look, we all talk about the quarterback play, and Jones clearly doesn't have an elite, what I would call an elite receiver. I'm not even sure he has a very good receiver. You know, Henry certainly is good in the red zone, but I have my doubts about Henry from time to time, too. It just feels to me like sometimes he's either soft or he brain locks or what. I don't know what it is sometimes. That fourth down play is a perfect example. But if you're going to be an elite pass, you know, a top 10 passing attack, that pass has to be caught. And that was a big play. Because if you catch that, it's first down. You end up having to punt. It gets blocked, and now it's 14-0. So it was a third down play. It was a huge play in the game. Huge. And again, I understand it required above average effort and execution. Okay? But if you're going to be that kind of team, you got to make that play.
It's fair. I'm not, you know, I think looking at it, you know, both ways is fair on that. Again, I'm not coming out strong either way. I just, you know, in the moment and then watching it on a film, I thought it was a little flatter than it needed. A little bit more air makes it a little bit more catchable, but still, it was right there. I mean, a good, to your point, a good receiver makes that catch, and it's part of the reason why in these games, this type of game illustrates why at the trade deadline, I would have been after a quick slot. They need an all-points bulletin search in the offseason for a real-deal slot receiver that can get open quick for this quarterback. That's what they need. They don't have it right now.
Okay, we put off Mac Jones until now. We've also put off Bill Belichick's decision-making, maybe even the play of Dante Hightower on that touchdown. We'll get to all of that with Greg over the next hour plus here on Felger and Maz on a Big Boy Tuesday.
Boston's home for sports. Felger and Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hey there, Big Jim Murray.
This Sports Hub on-demand content is brought to you by Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service.
At Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, our total trust guarantee gives you 20/20 vision into everything we do. From service bay cameras to service bay views to our transparent pricing, each and every day.
Stop by your neighborhood Speedy today and see what makes us better. Visit SpeedyNewEngland.com to find your location and save up to $10 on a 17-point oil change. See store for details, restrictions, and exclusions.
No thanks.
Felger and Maz.
Those guys are always trouble. I want nothing to do with this guy.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hey, going to Colts, going to Indianapolis when they're a good football team, it's an experience. That's a great stadium. The fans are loud. You know, they're a defense built on speed, so it's loud.
It was
You're on
really
field
loud.
Turf,
yeah.
And they're flying around, and it just seems more chaotic than other games. And that was, I think, an environment that Mac Jones and the Patriots, this team, you know, I'm sitting here looking at their schedule. They haven't been in that kind of environment. They really haven't the whole year. You know, you look at their games on the road, you know, at Buffalo, maybe a little bit, okay? Other than that, at Atlanta, at Carolina, the Chargers, you know, at Houston, come on, you know, at the New York Jets, none of those are being looked at as going, oh, whoa, that's a tough road game right there. So that was a different animal.
It's Chris Sims. On his podcast, Unbuttoned, something we talked about a little bit yesterday, but I'm eager to get Greg Bedard's thoughts on this as well. We'll take some of your calls in segment two, 617-779-0985. But the environment in Indy, was it a factor in the game?
Absolutely. You know, I thought that it affected the quarterback. I thought it affected the team. You know, some of these guys didn't play in front of fans last year, or it's been a long time. This was by far, he makes a good point, this is by far the worst atmosphere that they've been in this year. I mean, like you said, the Jets, the Texans, the Chargers was probably more Patriots fans than Chargers fans.
Same with the Carolina.
The Panthers game, same thing.
Good point.
The Falcons, give me a break. And the Bills game was negated by the weather. Suddenly they have here. You know, I think because of this game, the way they reacted, and I'm sure the atmosphere factored into all the mistakes, the procedural penalties. Maybe on the punt block. Maybe there, you know, there was also a play. I forgot to bring this up because I watched this film so long ago. You want to know how screwed up this team was? Watch the first play of the second half. And I put this on Twitter. I don't know if you saw it. But so Mac Jones makes some sort of change at the line.
Mm-hmm.
And Kendrick Bourne comes in a little bit. And what ends up happening is they end up handing the ball off to, I think, Stevenson.
Stevenson, yep. Yeah.
Ted Karras pulls, I forget, somebody internally gets blown up a little bit. So Karras almost gets tripped up. That happened a few times in this game. And he pulls. Ted Karras comes around, pulling guard. Stevenson has the ball behind him. And then all of a sudden, Ted Karras stops. There's two guys in front of him. He doesn't block either one of them. I've never seen this before. To me, it was, and you see after the play, David Andrews looks at Mac Jones. Ted Karras looks at David Andrews. Like, and they're like, what the hell? Ted Karras obviously thought it was a pass play because he didn't want to be illegally downfield.
Yet Ramondre Stevenson has a hand on Ted Karras' back, waiting for him to block somebody to figure out which way he's going to go, and Ted Karras just stands there. Like, that's how screwed up the first play of the second half. You were just in at halftime. And I think all of it, maybe the crowd noise there, people didn't hear. It was all bad. I expect this week, or at least going into the Dolphins game, Bill's going to have the stereo cranked up. You now have to be worried about the Miami game, because this team, one bad atmosphere that they've been in, and there will be a lot of Patriots fans at that game, as well, but that's a weird place. We all know how the Patriots fare down there. This was not good. I think the entire operation was affected by the Colts crowd.
Yeah, I thought they cracked some in this game, Greg. I thought they cracked. And I don't know any other way to put it. I mean, that's how I phrase
it. They just didn't look comfortable. And remember, we talked about this. Always in front, can run the ball, can throw when they need to. The atmosphere is fine. I don't have to worry about X, Y, and Z. In Buffalo, the weather takes the crowd out of it. Like, everything's been very comfortable for this team, you know, during their winning streak. You know, they got the kinks from the first six games ironed out. Everything became very comfortable, very easy. We're going to the Super Bowl, that kind of reaction. All of a sudden, they encountered some adversity in this game. They got punched in the face, and they didn't know what to do for 2.5 quarters.
And I thought specifically the quarterback, Greg, maybe more than anyone else. You know, he looked like, and I know he does these breathing exercises, but there's times like on the field, it looks like he was like hyperventilating. Mm-hmm. I thought the body language was bad. That's where it felt to me. Like, you've played in big college games before, and I know the NFL is different, but I don't know. He seemed like it really affected him.
This is why when you have a rookie quarterback, everything else around them has to work right. Like, this is why you're like, well, I'm not sure if Mac Jones can do X, Y, and Z, you know, and because if you have to rely on this rookie quarterback who has not seen everything, especially when you're dealing with a Colts defense that has a lot of veteran guys that know what they're doing, he needs guys to execute their blocks. He needs guys not to jump off sides. Things have to stay on schedule to set him up the best. That's part of the reason why we knew Mac Jones was going to be the best rookie quarterback, because he had the best situation. Suddenly, against the Colts for over a half, the Patriots played like the Jets and the Jaguars. And guess what? Mac Jones looked like Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson and Justin Fields and those guys, because everything did not work out well for this team.
I want to get to the run defenses, too. Steve at a car. Steve, go.
So I'm going to talk about Dante Hightower on the last play of the game. Him and McCourty were supposed to plug those gaps, it looked like, and he just was horrid and went to the gap that McCourty was covering. And he gave up a big run at the end of the game, and to me, that's inexcusable. And you're not going to win games in the playoffs if you're making stupid plays like that. And we got to get Hightower off the field now.
Okay, so look, Greg, I always worry about the patterns, okay? But this relates to Hightower. And when I say that, early in the year, they had opportunities in games where they were behind, where the defense could make a play, get off the field and get the offense back out there, have a chance to win the game. They couldn't do it. At the halftime of the Tennessee game, they give up a huge run play down the middle of the field that I would liken to the play that happened on Saturday night. And again, then it happens with Taylor. So you tell me, how much of a concern is the run defense in general? And then more specifically, what are you seeing from Hightower?
Well, what bothers me about the run defense is they settled on what their best run defense is. And it's, you know, Carl Davis at the nose, Devon Godchow, your whatever, $10 million nose tackle, can't hack it at nose tackle unless he's going up against a subpar center like in the Buffalo game. So he has effectively been demoted to guard because he can't do the job at nose tackle. Carl Davis is your best run-stuffing nose tackle. He's been there. I was really surprised about Guy in this game. I don't think much of Glowinski, the right guard of the Colts, and he owned Lawrence Guy in this game, plus, you know, with the right tackle there. My bigger concern, Murray,
that means something, too, because Bedard loves Guy. Loves him. It's his whoopee.
Guy's been one of his guys.
That is your whoopee. It is. That's your guy. For you to say that, he's your whoopee.
I figured what they would do in this game, and this is what they did, was sacrifice. Just say, look, well, like, Gotchow's probably getting his ass kicked anyway, so let's let him get his ass kicked by Quentin Nelson, because Quentin Nelson's going to kick anybody's ass, and let's go with Lawrence Guy as a mismatch on Glowinski. Problem was, Glowinski won that matchup big time. I'm more worried about, in this run defense, the defensive line has to hold the point of attack. They have to hold gaps, like on that final play. You can rip Dante Hightower all you want on that play, but I guarantee you there is no play in the Patriots defensive playbook that says the right defensive end, Christian Barmore, should get shoved 6 yards into the middle of the field. And it, you're expecting in that situation, everybody has a gap. Everybody needs to plug his gap. First of all, I thought Barmore went the wrong way. I thought the rest of the line was slanted to the weak side. Barmore was on the weak side. Everybody else started to slant that way because they figured the Colts would run weak. They did. Barmore slanted strong side and then got completely erased. And like I said, yes, Dante Hightower could have made that play. Dante Hightower in his prime probably makes that play. He's not. Guess what? He's not. He's still a pretty good player, but he's not in his prime. But you're not. You're also not expecting to cover a 5 yard gap. You know.
And was that Quentin Nelson that pushed him out of there?
It was the left tackle and the left guard both took Christian Barmore and put him on skates.
Murray, I'll tell you.
That was the play.
After watching Quentin, our guy Quentin, I can start to understand why Bedard likes line play.
Boy, he
all the buzz is justified.
He reminds me a
my
lot
God,
of
is
Cog
he a,
Hanna.
He is a monster.
He's, you know, Logan Mankins was really good here. He was a different kind of left guard. Nelson really reminds me of Hog Hanna. Like, he is that. He's that good. There isn't anything he can't do.
Hey, you fired up?
Yeah.
Hey, Quentin, what's up, man?
How's it going?
Hey, you fired up?
Yeah.
You can't play that enough, Trimmy. Cannot play it enough. I love that guy. What a player he is. Holy crap,
I don't even
what
think
a player
he's 100%.
He is. He's not. He's been hurt for like 6 weeks or 8 weeks or something, and he annihilated the Bills when they played them. He's a freaking monster.
I'm always got. I'm a rainmaker. You know, it's party time.
All right, RK will get you caught up on headlines. Then we'll get into the details with Mac Jones. Again, there was a play from the weekend that we're not talking a lot about that Greg thinks Mac Jones whiffed on. We'll tell you what that was when we come back.
Hey, you fired up?
The safety of our loved ones, it's never been more top of mind. Which is why, for many families, the Drive with Safety app has never been more reassuring.
Phew.
It lets you know where every driver in the family is located. Plus, families that use the Drive with Safety app can save 5% in their auto policy while benefiting from information that can help improve each driver's performance. Ask an independent agent about safety insurance. We'll help you manage life's storms.